Today's message is titled Another Level. Another Level. This is the year of what? Prosperity and obedience. Wow. Never has that been more true. God has been showing me people, even in this house, that began, they came in with non-obedient spirits. Some lined up, and then some of them went right back to what they were. And the level and the move of God shut down. But then those who have stepped up, God has prospered and is prospering them. So, I was talking to the Lord because actually the title of the message is Another Level Requirements. So I spoke to God. And I said, God, what's that about? What, you know? And I began to see something. And what I began to see was, whenever God calls you to another level, I used to hate when pastors say new level, new devil. We should never be giving Satan a place in God's move. But it's definitely new demands. It's new requirements. Let me give you an example. You're listening? Paul was that dude. Scribe of scribes, Pharisees of Pharisees. He sat at the high places whenever he came in. He was respected. He was honored. He was the dude. He held their coats while they stoned Stephen. He was that guy. He was prestigious. He had power. He had position. And then one day he's going down the road and the Lord knocks him off his horse. Somebody say knocks him off his horse. What does that mean? Huh? He humbled him, yes. But what is, think about that. He knocked him off his horse. Come on now. Isn't that a saying? He got knocked off your high horse? Isn't that an old saying? He got knocked off of his horse. And he was left blind. And all of those who had his back or was with him fled and left him. They camped him somewhere and they was out. He wakes up the next day a new person with a new revelation. Somebody say another level. And what happens as a result of that? See, that's the part. Oh, and he went and preached the gospel to the world. Or that prestige, or that position, or that title, or that welcome, all of his friends, all of the people that he considered his people were now stripped from him. And he was alone. See, we like to tell the other side of the story, but that side of the story, everything was taken that he loved and trusted. Now, here's the next thing. Now, you're going to go and share the Christ that you once persecuted. To who? To who? Who is he going to share it with? How many meetings were opening up immediately to let him in? You killed my brother. You killed my father. You killed my mother. You threw people in the dens. We saw you had Stephen stoned to death. We know who you are, Saul. Now you coming to us with your Jesus thing and want us to accept you as one of us? Another level requires leaving a level. Another level forces you out of your comfort zone. So even though we all laughed and giggled and praise the Lord, look what God did, you got a place in Florida. And the next week, COVID hit me. And I had nobody. Nobody could come over and bring me soup. Nobody could come over and pray. Nobody could say, well, you know, I'm just going to reach out to you and just touch your hand through the door. I was alone. I was isolated. And I felt my desire to live slipping from me. It was cold. Even though it was 80 something, 90 something degrees, at night I would put my heater on and wrap in blankets because I was cold and I was shivering. And I was alone. Everything I knew, everyone I loved, everything I built, gone. And I said, God, what is this? Because this should be a time of great joy. Poor got saved. It should be a time of great joy. But there he was alone. And I prayed, God, thank you for the place. Thank you for the home. It's beautiful. But if this is as far as I'm going, I don't want to wake up in the morning. I have no complaints. I just don't want to live like this. If this is where my journey ends, me having an apartment in Florida, in trees, thank you, I've seen it. Can we go now? And the Lord spoke to me. He said, you know, part of this is that sickness. And so the next morning when I woke up, I didn't get on the service. God said to me, you need to get out of this house. You need to, I mean, I hated the place. I was living in, I hated it. Because it became a prison to me. You're stuck in there. You can't go out. Nobody could come in. It was a beautiful tropical paradise prison. God said, get out of this house. Get in your car and just drive. And just keep driving until I tell you to stop. And I started driving and the sun was beautiful and then all of a sudden the rain started coming down like a storm. God said, keep driving. And he had me drive a while, turn around and come back. And I saw something. As soon as I got in the house, I called Lindsay, I called Edwards, I said, get out of the house. You got to get out. God showed me something. He said, when you commit a crime and you're convicted, they put you in jail. But if you do wrong in jail, what do? Isolate you. You see what this thing is doing? The prisoner's prison or punishment, solitary confinement. The average person can't stand to that. But I had the Lord. I had the Lord encouraging me. The next day, Nellie called, and she said, God told me to tell you, you heard your prayers, and everything you prayed should come to pass. And one of the things I prayed was the destiny that I've had in front of me my whole life. I have to see it. It can't be a promise anymore. It can't be a distant dream anymore. It can't be something that I'm praying about. I have to see it. I need to see my legacy. I wrote a letter to Angela. I wrote a letter to my kids. And I let them know, I love you guys. But I prayed all night to leave this planet. And now that I realize that it's not time for me to go, it's time for me to live the life that God has called me to live. I've done anything and everything I can do for you. It's time now for me to walk with God. And walk with God alone. I'm going to take you through some scriptures, but I just want to show you some things. Obedience to God means you cannot be slave to anyone else. If anybody else has a fluent influence on your decision after God spoke to you, you're disqualified. If anybody else's opinion moves you outside of the will of God, you're disqualified. The power of God demands total attention, total obedience, and quick response. Quick response. How many of you have fought and prayed and fasted for something and still waiting for it? Yet, I've learned something from this experience, saints. I just said, Daddy, I'm tired of sleeping on this couch. That's all I said. He said, I'll take care of it. I let it go. I never thought about it again. 3 weeks later, he said, take a vacation. I don't want to take a vacation. I had all my reasons. He said, just do it anyway. I did it. Still had no idea what was coming. Then I visited Corey's house, and he said, I need you here. Well, I was staying in Fort Lauderdale. I just go to his house one night in Miami. I want you here. And then the next day I go shopping and find the apartment immediately. Find the apartment immediately, and the day we're moving in, Esther's with me, I get a call from the guy saying, well, I don't know if you want the furniture, but I got a whole bunch of furniture in storage that I had to, you know. He moved in with his new girlfriend, and she didn't want any of his old stuff. She didn't want remnants of him and his old relationships. It's all in storage if you want it. He sent me pictures. I said, wow, that's nice stuff. So I get to the building and said, where's storage? He says, upstairs on the fourth floor. I'm on the third floor. Literally, God had all my furniture and everything ready. But that came from a level of obedience that also was steeped in a lot of hurt and detachment. Are you willing to lose everything that you trust to see the power of God in your life? Because that's where it's real. Are you willing to stop trying to control God's hand and tell him what a blessing is? Let me say that one more time. Are you willing to stop trying to control God's hand and tell him what a blessing is, and just be still and let him walk you into your destiny no matter what it costs? I heard one or two amen. Strong amen if you mean it. So I started thinking about another level, the next level. And if you would go with me to Joshua chapter 1, I want to show you something. Let me know when you're there. we there?
Amen.
Okay. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses is what? Moses is what? Moses is what? What is that? An aide.
Assistant.
Assistant, servant, get my clothes out the cleaners, polish my camel. Run over to Rite Aid and pick me up a couple of things. Make my bed. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I'm about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place you should set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the great desert Lebanon to the great river Euphrates in the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea, to the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I shall be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. Let's take a couple of things here apart. Joshua was Moses's, servant. Servant, how can you expect God to promote you where he can't even get you to serve anybody great? You ain't surrendered to nobody. You surrender to your will, your way, your opinion, your point of view, and you're still trying to dial the dials to make God do what you want to do and hold scripture over him like you're going to guilt God into some position. But who do you serve that gives you the right to ask God for anything of great value? Who are you ready to be the successor to? Because you ain't serving nobody. Whose aide are you? I said to God, well, God, who aide am I? And God said, everybody in the church, you've been their aide and helped them. And whoever I tell you serve without question. Even those who are quote unquote under you, you will bow down and serve them. Even when they don't appreciate it, respect it, or honor it. He said, you've been aid to anyone I've asked you to be aid to. He said, but they come asking for the blessings that I give you when they're not submitted to no one. They receive you when it speaks to them. And when it doesn't, they shun you. And they have the audacity to come to me to ask me to bless me, to bless them like I bless you. The audacity. And I said, wow. And he said he was his aide. He was his servant. And he served them faithfully. But now his life is getting switched because another level has come to him. God came to him and said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Duh. We know that. He wasn't making a point about his physical death. He was making a point about his position in leadership and how God was now introducing a new style or difference in leadership. Now, come on, saints. We're doing it a different way this time. And as he sits there listening to God, telling him, Moses, my servant, is dead. And I want you now to lead these people who immortalized Moses. You're just his aide. You're not even a leader. You're an aide. You don't see where Moses was putting him through a class of leadership training. Now, you get up and you lead these people. Now, where does that put Joshua in his mind? Just think about it for yourself when you hear this. When you've been serving the boss, and the boss walks in all of a sudden and says, I want you to take over the company. Wait, now, I've heard you talk about these $50 million projections and this, you know, $100 million asset acquisitions and all this. But all I've been doing is getting coffee and stuff. I don't know how to do that stuff. And now you're telling me you want me to take over? Whoa. Look at it from the point of view of the man. And so God makes it clear. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. He's not just talking about on the outside of the camp. He's talking about those on the inside that may reject him. He's talking about those on the inside that may reject him. And he said, as I was with Moses, so I shall be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Listening? Listening? Only be strong and very courageous. Because you will lead these people to inherit the land. So now, the next level requires another thing. It requires total obedience, quick repentance. It requires you to be able to be somebody's servant. But it also requires you to be strong and courageous. In a place that's totally uncomfortable to you. And God's just going to make a way. How? He's just going to do it. What are you going to do? I just know the Lord going to open the doors. What doors? Has he shown you a door? Do you even have an idea of a door? Where's the building, at least, that the door is supposed to be opened in? You have nothing but church cliches and so-called faith. But faith that's not rooted or based in anything but you saying stuff. Oh, you're so quiet today. You think I should have stayed in Florida one more week? No, he's saying to them, him, this is what I'm going to do. But I need something from you. Are you listening to me? I need you to be strong and courageous even when all the floodwaters come running in. I need you to step out into what I'm calling you to, even when as you're stepping into it, everything around you seems to be going wrong. I need you to be strong, and I need you to be courageous, even though every fear that can haunt you has come at you. I need you to be strong, and I need you to be courageous, when everybody that was walking with you like they did with Paul drops you off somewhere in the inn and leaves you. You want this level? Maybe not now, huh? Because when you're pulled into the unknown by God, it's only unknown by you. It's not unknown by God. He knows the plan he has for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope in the future. But your senses, are you listening to me? Will be scrambled. Your understanding about what's about to go down will be totally disoriented. Your cell phone in the spirit will lose signal, and your navigation will no longer point you the way you're used to being pointed. And then you got to be still. And then you got to trust. And I will be with you as I was with Moses. Only I have one requirement of you. Be very strong. And be very courageous. I was going to take you to some more verses, but I'm just going to finish off with this. God said, I want you to look at something. The parable of the seed. Some fell on good ground, some fell on thorny ground, some fell on stony ground. So I want you to look at this. I'm talking about next level people. And I want to talk about those who fall on shallow ground. Church people who hear, they receive esk, you know, meaning they receive the part of it that speaks to them. They get excited. They turn cartwheels. Now it's time to face the change. Now it's time to face the challenge. Now it's time to have all your equilibrium knocked out from under you. And I ain't talking about the devil this, the devil that. I'm talking about just because God has snatched you from one place to the other. And yes, as in my case, the enemy attacked me physically in more ways than one. Every step I'm taking, I'm getting buffeted. Physically buffeted. Emotionally buffeted. Everything to make me turn tail and run back. And boy, it was nice. I laid in that apartment in Florida. It was like, I need to go back to Pennsylvania. Man, I need to get up. All the furniture in there, just leave it. Go home where you know where everything is, where you can be in your discomfort. Because I was not comfortable there. But it was a discomfort that I knew. Oh, can we have a real conversation? It sucks, but it's a suckiness that I've learned to live with. It's familiar, yes, sir. That's where the term familiar spirits come from. Now, I've thrown you somewhere where you have no trust in anything but me. And your mind doesn't like it. And so this seed that falls on shallow ground, church is full of them. They grow. They quote unquote change. You see a difference. It looks like they're reaching up to the skies for God. But then these moments happen. And the scripture said they become offended. Their roots, they have no roots. And they fall away from the truth. They can't keep it up for a long time. They can pretend for a season to be honorable people of God. But literally they're just using the principles of God to get what they want from God. And when God shows you up and exposes you, your truth comes spilling out. I had a chance in this season to once again find out what I really believe. You're going to have your chance if you want another level. You're going to have that chance. You will be challenged. You will be buffeted by your flesh, by the devil. The devil not going to park his car on the side and let you through, bro. He's going to try everything he can to make you quit and go back. But he who puts his hand to the plow and turns back is not fit for kingdom living. So I'm asking you, stop being cowards. Stop trying this thing. Decide. This is my destiny. And I'd rather be dead than not fulfill it. Decide that God will be with you all the days of your life, as he said to Joshua. And I will not let anything stand against you. Decide that all the promises of God are yea and amen. Decide. Yes, it hurts. But man, the momentary light affliction, for the glory that's set before me, I'll take it. And if you're not ready, don't play with it. Father, I just ask today that these words touch these people where they need to be touched. I ask that it encourage them the way they need to be encouraged. I add to that it strengthens them where they need to be strengthened. These people, this lentil patch, are powerful people. I come against the spirit of offense. I come against the spirit of lethargy. I come against the spirit of emotionalism. I come against all of these things, pride, avarice, arrogance, that we let you lead, that we be still, and we accept the call, and we accept it with confidence, and we accept it in trust. We know we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Let us give you the chance to do those things. And we thank you for the opportunity to serve with you and to walk with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.